84 degrees already. You're with Lori DuBose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio, as is customary, the second and fourth Tuesday of each month following city council meetings. And good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for being with us. One of the big topics on the work session agenda was the compensation and classification plan for employees, and Councilman Jack Burrell was here yesterday and said that y'all are discussing a 5% pay raise, and possibly not in the next budget, but sooner than later.
Correct. So this is something we've been looking at for a while. Most people know, if they've listened to any of the city meetings, that the compensation study from Auburn we've been working on really for the past couple years. This was in place when I took office. The compensation study had been awarded in the previous administration and just needed to really go through it, make sure Auburn had all the job descriptions. There was a lot that still had to be done with it. So every time we get in front of an employee group, we talk about the compensation study. So I know they're probably sick about hearing about it. So I'm glad we're able to get this, you know, finalized and complete and do something nice for the employees.
This study is to see how your pay and benefits stack up and other similar scenarios or municipalities.
Right. What the study did was it basically reviewed all of our job descriptions, made sure they had all the language they needed federally for disability, those kind of things, make sure we had a job title and job description and a pay classification for each job that we have in the city. So in the pay classification was the biggest part of it, was looking at our current pay scale, seeing, pulling, going to other municipalities, other cities, seeing what their pay ranges were, and to make sure we were within those ranges for each of our job descriptions.
And so what was, I know the work session, there is no vote, but what was right. The general consensus last night for those that didn't watch the meeting on YouTube or attend it?
So what we talked about was when we got the compensation study back, we worked with the personnel board. Diane Thomas and her group have been fantastic to work with. But basically they went through and looked at it and looked at every job title, every pay classification. And then we even, because it's been 2 years, we even went outside of that and called around some of the local municipalities who's our competition, and said, are we still within that pay range? So now what we have done is come back and said, we know we have people that are outside of the pay range, whether they're higher than the current pay range that Auburn has proposed or lower. So the people who are higher, we are not going to propose anything, but those people who are not in their pay ranges, we are we're asked the council to allocate $87,000 to plus up those people to get them within the pay ranges. Then we have also proposed a 5% across the board for all employees, and then any general government employee who makes makes $15 or less will get a dollar increase plus the 5%, and any utility employee who makes $18 or less will get a dollar plus the 5%.
That sounds very nice, very generous.
It does, and it keeps us competitive. It helps us retain employees. It's expensive to turn over employees. It's expensive to hire new employees, and we have had a lot of turnover in the past couple years. We really need to be able to retain what we have and to be able to attract new employees. And it's so competitive right now because everybody has increased basically their minimum to almost $15. Mm-hmm. There's some of our neighboring utilities who started their minimum at $19. Whoa. So, and we're just not there yet. And when you can choose to live anywhere in Baldwin County you want, because you're going to have to drive, because a lot of our employees aren't able to live in Fairhope because the housing prices, then, you know, we are competitive with places like Gulf Shores or, you know, North Baldwin Utilities or Daphne Utilities, whatever it might be. So this is going to allow us to be competitive, hopefully help us attract new employees and retain the ones that we have.
When will it be voted upon, presumably approved, and when would it go into effect?
We are hopefully going to take it to the council at the next council meeting, which will be on the 27th. There was some things they asked for last night that we need to get together. We talked about in the new budget year that we would go ahead and, you know, do probably another percentage increase, not across the board maybe, but maybe for anybody making $20 or less, and then do some merit increases. They would like to go ahead and do those percentage increases now, so all that is done, and then in the new budget year only do merits. So we are going, which are performance based, obviously. So we are going to go ahead and get that information together. It'll go to the council at the next meeting, and then hopefully it will be in employees' paychecks on July 15th.
Wow, that's some quick action.
It
and
is.
Very much appreciated, especially
yes.
with gas prices.
It is. And there's, but you know, we're doing some things, being really flexible with our employees. Like a, we have, you know, an employee that works at City Hall that lives in Bay Minette, that allowing her to work 4/10s. You know, doing that with some of the utility employees that might not live close by. Trying to do everything we can to help the employees, you know, do what's better for them and their family. And again, with gas prices and those kind of things, if, you know, it just, if they're able to do that and they're willing to do it, then it makes sense for us.
Very nice. What's the second floor project on the library? I understand there was a presentation for Love, our Fair Hope Library.
So everybody knows that the library has that second floor that they haven't utilized in quite a while. They really, we had Coastal Alabama up there, I think, with their nursing school, and this has been sitting vacant for the past couple years. So they are wanting to renovate that space to add an area for the Friends of the Library, some technical services, and add really a teen space up there. We've just seen a really increase in young people using the library, and this will give them their own space. So we're really excited to be able to do that. It does have over $1 million price tag. So that was one of the things they came, you know, with last night, saying, you know, what could the city's contribution be? This is what we're going to do. We're going to do a capital campaign. We already have $200,000. So there is a lot of, you know, a lot that still has to go into it, but we know this is something we need to budget for. It's the upcoming budget, and hopefully make this a reality for the library.
The top floor is finished out with office-type spaces. Obviously, the school used it. So what is the $1 million for?
Some of it's going to be for equipping it. You know, you've got to put in furniture, bookshelves. You've got to do all the technology, computers
yeah.
Electric out, you know, electrics, outlets, all that kind of stuff. So there's some reconfiguration. There may be, I don't think there's any moving of walls or anything like that. I think the space is there. I think most of it is just, you know, there may be adding a wall to, you know, create additional spaces, especially in the teen area, because they like those little cubbies and that kind of stuff to work on school projects or whatever it might be. So there's a little bit of, you know, reconfiguration, but not anything, you know, too structural.
And now the Fairhope Library, even though the city helped build it and fund it, doesn't it stand on its own now through the Friends and the Library Foundation? Tell us how that works.
No, so we basically give the library a subsidy every year.
Right.
So we give them like $800,000 every year. So I think that's about the budget that we contribute. And then, you know, through the Friends of the Library and other grants, those kind of things, everything else is operational. But we do give them a large chunk of money every year for their operations.
Okay. Number three, a proposal for reduction in rates and fees for Quail Creek Golf Course during the downtime with temporary greens and greens resurfacing project. Jack kind of went off on this yesterday. He's a golfer, and he was appalled at the way the greens were cut and apparently ruined, and indicated due to a rogue employee or lack of supervision that it happened. And he also expressed he didn't think that there should be a temporary fee reduction while the mistake is being corrected. What happened last night?
It was favorable. Most people agreed with that. You know, we've done this before in the past when we've gone out to Quail Creek and redone greens and stuff, probably about 10 years ago. We did give an extension on season pass holders, and they were favorable to that last night, you know, extending those season pass holders by 2 months. The other thing they did was look at some different rates that we're seeing around the county for, you know, Glen Lakes, those kind of places, Lake Forest. So what we are proposing is that we do a reduction in our rates, which will make us competitive with the other courses. Because what we're seeing now is that we're losing some of our players to go play at other places. And when they're taking 10 to 15 players, they're giving them a pretty large reduction.
I see.
So in order to retain some of those folks there, we ask for, you know, just a slight reduction in fees. Maintaining the cart fees, you'll still pay the same cart fee. The greens fees will just be a little bit less. And the bids are actually opening this week on redoing the greens. There's 7 greens, I think, is what that bid says, that we're going to be redoing. We do have the temporary greens. The fairways look fantastic. Tom Johnson, who we've hired as a superintendent, has a doctorate in agronomy, is doing a fantastic job in bringing those greens back. Thankfully, by hiring him, we don't have to redo as many of the greens as we thought we were going to have to. So he's really come a long way in the past, you know, month to 6 weeks, just you know, getting those greens back in shape. And again, the fairways and everything look fantastic.
Jack indicated this error in cutting was going to cost the city about $80,000. Have you looked into why it happened, and is someone responsible that should be held accountable?
I think it's a culmination of stuff, Lori, to be honest. I think it was cutting. I think it was we had a lot of cooler temperatures, a lot longer this year than we have had in the past. Typically, for good grass growing, you need 150 degree to temperature with the morning low and the afternoon high. We didn't have that for a while. I think some chemical use came into play. I do think that there was some grass mowing that was done improperly, and I think that's from just lack of supervision. You know, we didn't have a ground superintendent for a number of months trying to hire somebody, and we actually offered the position twice and were turned down, and finally we found Tom, and who was willing to take the position and is doing a fantastic job. It just proves that everything works out in the end.
Okay. All right. And I see we've got some new sidewalk possibilities coming to Fairwood and Blue Island. And then number five, what was the discussion of additional funding for projects? We've got a lot of projects going on right now.
We do. We have a lot of projects. So, you know, when Kim did the, Kim Creech, our treasurer, did the six-month review, we had a nice surplus in our general fund. And so,
what do you mean by nice?
$5 million. Ooh, so okay. That we've been able to put in cash reserves, and typically you're going to use that for capital projects. Obviously, we're always very frugal, and again, I told the council last night, you know, that's their efforts over the past several years to make sure they're being, you know, really good stewards of the city's money. And we've been able to keep expenses down. We've been able to watch, you know, overtime and employee costs and all that the past couple of years. So we've been able to put some money in the bank, which is nice. But some of the projects we're looking at is, you know, we're building four new baseball fields. We need to, when they first bid that project, they bought the lights, but they wanted our electric department to install the lights. Well, that means we have to buy a derrick truck because those poles are so, we have to rent a derrick truck because those poles are so large, and our electric department is stretched right now. We have, you know, the substation work going on, the 46 kV line. We've got the marina we have to hook up for electrical. There's just a lot going on, a lot of building. So we asked to be able to outsource that. We're estimating that about $250,000. The bricking the Volana side, the visitor side of the Volana football stadium, Majors Field, doing that, which we did not do. We did the home side, but we didn't do the visitor side, so we'd like to do that. That's going to be about probably a $50,000 price tag. There was a police training simulator that we took out of the budget this year that we'd like to add back in. The police chief has applied for a grant, but we'll know in September if we get that or not. If we don't get it, I'd like for her to be able to purchase that training equipment. The golf course, obviously, is an additional expense that was unfunded, which is probably $80,000 to $100,000. We're opening those bids this week. The other thing that we are going to be doing is adding six pickleball courts. We are working with the Quail Creek Property Owners Association to take those courts from them that they have out at Quail Creek and turn those into six pickleball courts. That's a price tag of about, with some fencing and everything, about $200,000. The other thing is there's a litter getter that the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board has wanted to purchase, and it will be for that detention pond there by Winn-Dixie. Everybody knows all that trash that blows into that pond and eventually ends up in our waterways. So it's a, for lack of a better word, contraption that you put there at the outflow that captures all the trash. So we $27,000, we'd like to do that. You know, we have a couple other projects, the clock corner that we talked about last night on the agenda up at Section and Fairhope Avenue. We've got money budgeted for that, but that could be over budget, you know, with all the cost increases.
Like everything is.
Right. The triangle RFQs were due this week. We have $1 million from GoMesa for that project, but again, we don't know if that could come in over budget.
Well, refresh my memory. Is that the bike trails and the park facilities?
That will be like the trailhead, the restroom facility, an outdoor classroom, trails, a walkway, a wildlife tunnel, basically. So there's a few things going on. The track at Founders, we're putting in a regulation track that can be used for high school and middle school track meets that also residents will be able to use at Founders. That's going to be a partnership between the city, single tax, and the school board. That's out for engineering right now. It's getting ready to go out for bid, so we don't know what that's going to look like. There's a lot of these projects that can be really impactful to our community. Just to be honest, fun things that I think people really want to see us do. The infrastructure is necessary and it's important for us to do, but it's not always the fun stuff to do. So I think, you know, in particular the council. This council's been there for, you know, quite a while, most of them except for Councilman Martin. And they've been, again, good stewards of the city's financials. I think they deserve to see some of these projects cross the finish line and some of the fun stuff.
Very good. We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 8:41 and 84 degrees. One of the first items on the City Council agenda, moving to the meeting now, is the report of the mayor. What was your report?
So, last night, last week was a tough week in our community. We lost some community members that, touched a lot of people in our community. We had Maggie Mosteller. Went to her service on Saturday, and they did that up in Montrose outside. It was just so reflective of Maggie and her sweet personality and her kindness that it was just a great service, and somebody we're really going to see, we're going to miss seeing her walk that the pier and the bayfront and everything. And
she had a radio show here for quite some time,
just
too.
Her kindness. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something we're really going to miss. So her, and then also Dr. Todd Chambliss, who had touched a lot of people, and then also Anna Crabtree, who was a local realtor here, who was very young, under the age of 40, who passed last week. So just a difficult time in Fairhope. And then I also asked for people to continue to be in prayer for the Edwards family that lost their son, CJ, this week. And, just continue to pray for them and, as they lay him to rest this week.
I reached out to the Fairhope Police Department yesterday for more details on the shooting over the weekend. And they said as soon as they can, they will provide more information.
Correct.
But so far, no other details have been given about the 1 a.m. Saturday morning, I guess Sunday morning, shooting of this 22-year-old man who's been described on social media and on TV as just a fine pillar in the community. And I called my own son and said, "Do you remember him?" Of course, he played basketball.
Football, a standout athlete, mm-hmm. and just, an employee at the Grand Hotel, had been there for a while, and just, a really nice kid, somebody really you enjoyed being around. And, I remember just hearing his name called at the football stadium. Obviously, mm-hmm. I know his mom. His mom works down at the Grand Hotel. She greets you as you come in, so you see her all the time. And yeah, just really sad for that family. And again, just he was a great kid from what it appears.
Are they treating this as a homicide investigation?
Lori, to be honest, I'm not sure of that. I've tried to stay out of that as much as I possibly can and let them do their job. I know that they're still investigating, getting a lot of eyewitness testimony and working with the family to try to gather all the information so they can, just figure out exactly what happened.
Yes. One of the TV station's headlines said the first homicide investigation in 8 years. Yeah. I knew it's been many years I had to report on a shooting.
It has. And I told when I found out about it and talked to the chief, I said, that's one thing that I guess as the leader of any community, crime is just something that, we have vandalism, we have, some petty stuff, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, you do not want that in your community. It's not what you want for your residents to hear. It's not what you want for, this family or anything else. So, I think whatever comes out of this investigation, I think it's important for us as a community to realize that, violence like this, there's no place for it in Fairhope. We're not going to tolerate it. We're going to be quick to take action. We're going to hold those people accountable. And, we're just not going to tolerate it. I mean, I want people to know that that kind of activity here is not welcome, and we just don't want it.
Thank you. Let's move on now to the public hearing. I'm trying to wrap my head around, I think Jack explained it pretty good, about the zoning change where B3A and B3B would be amended to allow hotel, motel, or bed and breakfast on an appeal and special condition only.
Correct.
What is this about? Is this because of one property having some problem, Jubilee Suites, or what?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it just is adding another layer to the approval process.
Okay.
So it goes to the Board of Adjustments. I mean, anytime you're going to put something like this that's subject to more people into an area, parking, all those kind of things, I think that it gains a lot of attention from the people surrounding the property. So I think we want to make sure we're doing everything that we can, whether it's going to Planning Commission, then Board of Adjustments. Obviously, this wouldn't go to the council. That's where it would stop.
But that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Will it go?
It won't go to the council.
Okay.
But want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to make sure that, you know, it's least impactful to the area that it's going in.
So B3A and B right now do not have hotel and bed and breakfast allowed?
It does not have hotel. It did not have hotel to my... I need to go back and look at
that's what
list.
I'm wondering. Is there one specific property that somebody wants to build a hotel that this is being changed
not
for?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that it was discussed last night. And I can't leave you with this table, Lori, so you can see the proposal. If you can read it, you have to put your glasses on.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a whole table that you can look at, and it's by zoning district, and it tells you everything. So B3B right now is the one highlighted here in yellow. And you can go on to and look at the council packet online, and you can see that.
Okay.
But it'll give you all the uses for that.
Okay.
For that designation.
Okay. I see number 7. You mentioned the Fair Clock Plaza. Did they vote to authorize you to?
They did. To Christian Preuss. And Christian has done a conceptual of that in the past, so I'd be glad to work with him again on that. I think that the council has seen that conceptual. They've been able to make some comments on it. So I think we've got a good plan in place moving forward, and I'm real excited to see something done with that area.
Okay. And a widening of the City of Fairhope and Baldwin County Commission to widen Blueberry Lane and Gayfer Road Extension. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion over there last night. We actually had a lot of the residents from Blueberry Lane. And
that's a quiet little street.
Why widen it? Well, so you have North Station that is going to be just east of Blueberry Lane. And then behind North Station, you had River Horse, which is another subdivision that was going in.
And then River Mills across Fairhope Avenue from Blueberry Lane already.
Right, but that's further down.
Okay.
So this is off of Gayfer. That would be off of 44.
Okay.
So it's a little bit further down. But, you know, so River Horse, the only access they had was through North Station. And so when you get to a certain threshold of homes, then you have to have a secondary access for emergency vehicles. So in case something were to happen right there in front of North Station, they're landlocked.
Okay.
So we worked with the county, and we're going to be taking over Blueberry Lane. We're going to let them do the improvements to it, and then the city will probably take it over for maintenance. But basically what we're doing is we're going to leave it as we're going to expand the paving to 18 feet. We're also going to change the base, because right now the base is not equipped for emergency vehicles, because it was what the county deems as a single-use lane for those residents along there. So we're going to increase that base. We're going to widen it so it can no striping, no curbing, no anything like that, but give a secondary access into River Horse.
Why wouldn't the developer be responsible for having access?
Well, it's a county road.
You said once it reaches a certain density that emergency vehicles couldn't get into North Station. Why wasn't the developer of North Station?
It's a little bit of a partnership, because he's having to come out of his subdivision somewhat. But this is a partnership between the county and the city to be able to do this.
Okay, all right. I see we're naming Triangle Drive
the piece of
104 between 98. And Scenic 98. Mm-hmm. And why was that?
Emergency, the E911 contacted us, and that's not should not be 104. It really stops at Greeno.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything further west needed a different name. So we went back and forth over this name, and I actually had somebody text me last night at the meeting, which was not a bad idea. When we came up with Triangle Drive, you know, Jack kind of was like, that's so creative. You know, it's really not. I do think people will know, they'll be like, oh, the triangle, we'll know
where
it is.
Yeah, it's easy.
But it is not creative. But we don't know what we're going to do for the naming of that park. We haven't really talked about that. Jack threw out some names like Flying Creek Drive, but that's too close to Fly Creek. We talked about Colonial Drive, because Colonial Acres is right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's already been taken. So we just never could come up with a good name. But the person last night that texted me, they're like, what about Delta? Which kind of made sense, because the triangle's a delta, you know.
Delta Drive?
And then the Mobile Bay Delta. But Triangle Drive, I think people will know exactly where it is.
It fits. So. Okay. Anything else that you want to mention? We got a couple of more minutes left.
I don't think so. I think, I don't think so. I think everything on here is pretty self-explanatory.
Anything walked on the agenda?
Nothing walked on the agenda. We didn't really have any council comments.
Anything not on the agenda you want to cover? I mean, we've got the Church Street infrastructure project. We've got the electric project.
We do. And we have a lot of projects going on. I will tell you that the one at Fairhope Avenue in 98 is moving a little bit quicker than we had thought, which is great. So we'll be seeing some lane openings there, and we'll move across 98, and they will close down a small portion. But our goal is to go ahead and get that road complete and open before school starts. So we may have to do some intermittent, or there may be just some cones put up where you have to go around them, but really trying to work hard on that project. Tommy Long and his crew have done a great job, who are our contractors, just moving that along so we don't impact school traffic.
When is the timetable for the turning lanes to be added on each side of Gayfer around 98?
Yeah, that project has been bid, and the bid's open here. Actually, it's already been bid. It probably will be on the next council agenda.
Okay.
So that came in a little bit higher than it was the last time, I think by about $25,000, but it should be on the next council agenda for award.
And Bancroft, is that sinkhole, has that been repaired?
It has been repaired. It's not back open yet. They were paving yesterday. So if it's not back open today, it should be easily done by Friday.
Jack indicated that turned out to be way more expensive than originally thought. No, you don't know. Okay,
no.
I know they had to have an emergency council meeting and
they
an
did,
emergency
but it was
contract
not,
executed.
It was not more expensive. Actually, I think that it's a little bit less expensive than they awarded the contract for.
Perhaps I misunderstood that. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's all.
All right. As soon as we turn off the microphone, we'll go.
We'll think of something. Yeah, I forgot to mention it.
So sit here for just a second, just in case.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, joining us usually the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. If you miss it, you can listen later at WABF1480.com. It is.